When most of us think about family, we imagine people who are comforting, caring, encouraging, and so on. Especially with our immediate family, we never expect things to go wrong. However, in some cases, family isn't always what it's cracked up to be. It sometimes gets so bad that police intervention is required to bring an end to a dispute. I'm your host, MC, and this is episode 28 of the MC Horror Podcast. I was still a child when this story happened. My parents were divorcing, but my father had always been violent. As he was not looking for an apartment himself and was very demanding, he was still living with us during the divorce. One night, I had the biggest fear of my life. My mother put my sister and me to bed early. I still had trouble sleeping because I could hear my dad yelling insults at my mom for hours and hours. He didn't understand why she wanted to leave him. It was obvious, but narcissistic perverts usually do not recognize their mistakes. They think that they are perfect. That night, it must have been almost midnight, and I was just starting to doze off when another scream woke me up. This time, it was my mother. My sisters and I got up running and found my mother crying on the stairs. My father had slapped her so hard that her head had banged hard against the wall. She was yelling at him not to touch her. We immediately rushed towards her to surround her and protect her. I was 9 years old, but I understood. After all, I had always been afraid of my father. He always hurt us. I was afraid of him, but I refused to leave my mother to him. We took my mother to her room while my older sister prevented my father from coming up. He kept saying she was hysterical and mad. Above all, he did not admit that it was he who was causing the problem. My mom struggled to calm down but told us to get dressed quickly. When my father saw us coming down, dressed to go out, he started insulting her again by asking her where she was taking us, as if she had to tell him. Afraid he decided to hit one of us, she told him she was taking us to the McDonald's to clear our heads. She took her coat and put us in the car before we drove off. She didn't take us over to the fast food business at all. She drove around town, pulling into a parking lot that I didn't even know. From there, we went to the police station. It was too much. She had seen the hate in his eyes. He could have beaten her to death if we hadn't arrived. Just as we got to the door of the police station, we saw my father. He was coming out of the park just in front. He had been looking for us. Unfortunately, he had seen us too. We rushed inside, and seeing our panic, a policewoman took us to an office. As she closed the door, we heard my father entering the building yelling insults, asking where my mother was while calling her names, saying that she had nothing against him, that she had no right, you know, those sorts of things. He screamed like that for almost a whole hour. I was in tears in my mother's arms. My older sister was shaking with fear. My other sister was the only one who could speak and told the officer who stayed with us and everything that had happened. After a while, he finally left. The police station suddenly became silent. Another policewoman poked her head through the door and asked if he had been drinking. But no, he never drank. He was naturally like that. The police explained to us that they had told my father to take his things and leave. They made us stay in their premises for a while to make sure he was gone while taking my mother's statement. My mother, however, still wanted to take us to a fast food restaurant before returning home. The police were all very reassuring. They just asked us to call them urgently if my father came back. Then we were able to drive home. My sister really wanted to get her phone. We arrived home. The house was silent. Everything was off. My father's car was no longer there. Relieved, my mother asked my sister to hurry up and pick up her phone while we waited for her in the car. She took the keys and ran towards the house, but when she opened the door, she let out a cry of terror. My mother, being panicked, opened the car door to get out before seeing my father coming up in a fury towards her. She had just enough time to tuck her leg in before he slammed the door on it. She then had the reflex to lock the doors, although she was worried about my sister. He was starting to scream again and insult her. He pulled on the handles and hit the car. It lasted well for 10 minutes before sirens interrupted my father. Two police cars and a van pulled up in front of our house. My sister had run to her room and called the police on her cell phone she had come to collect. My dad still put the blame on my mom by yelling that she had the audacity to call the cops even though she had been in front of him this whole time. The police almost jumped out of their vehicles with their hands on their clubs. One of them pinned my father against the car and handcuffed him, asking why he was still there and reminding him that they had asked him to leave. My dad was no longer being proud, and the only excuse he could find to say was, "But I couldn't find my underpants, actually." The police stayed while he finally packed a suitcase. They waited for him to get into his car, which he had hidden away, and disappear around the corner before finally assuring my mother that they were going to patrol all night. My mother thanked them, and we left the neighborhood to finally go to the promised restaurant. Only when we arrived in the neighborhood street, my father's car, still hidden away, joined us on the road to follow us. What he hadn't foreseen, however, was that the police van was following as well. When we arrived at the restaurant, my father finally continued straight on the main road and left town while the police made three turns around McDonald's, raising questions from all the customers. When we got back, we were afraid he would be waiting for us again, but as promised, the police came on duty all night. Needless to say, we still didn't sleep that night and struggled to sleep for several weeks. I have been an insomniac since then, and today, at 28, I still cannot sleep without sleeping pills. If you or anyone you know have a horror story that you'd like to be narrated on here, please fill out the form that's linked in the description below. There are also links to the music used, as well as if you want to submit some feedback to help improve your listening experience. My friends, horror is all around us. We just try our best to avoid it. Once again, I'm your host, MC, signing out. Thanks for taking the time to check out the MC Horror Podcast. Have a great night.